Hi, and welcome to Lumen Fidei, your podcast to discover new ways to live a life as a Catholic. We are three regular Catholics, and I have here with me...
Carolyn.
Mark.
And Melina. And we are just three regular Catholics trying to live a better life every day by the guidance of God. We're learning every day and try to discover new ways of how we can actually live a better life as a Catholic. I'm going to pass it over to Caroline as she will start our podcast today.
Great. So I'm really excited to introduce this episode of our Lumen Fidei podcast. We're talking about Advent. Advent's coming up. And Advent's one of my, I like all the liturgical seasons and I like the cycle. But Advent, because it's the beginning of the liturgical year, it has a special place in my heart. So Advent is, for those of you who may not be familiar with it, are the days leading up to the Christmas season. Normally it starts around kind of the last weekend of November. It's the 4 weeks leading up to Christmas. And we have four Sundays in Advent, which are often represented by the Advent wreath. So you'll see three purple candles, one pink candle. I don't know, I always have purple, purple, pink, purple kind of ingrained in my mind. Pink Sunday being Gaudete Sunday. And we have lots of little traditions for Advent. You can talk about Advent wreaths or maybe like Advent calendars. People often have like the pop-out boxes where you get a chocolate each day. Or I know there's a lot of secular things like Elf on the Shelf and stuff like that. But we're going to talk about some Catholic traditions for Advent. And one thing that most people don't know is Advent's actually also a penitential season, which we really should know because I don't know why I never made the connection between the purple vestments we see at church and a season of penance. I don't know. I guess because Advent's so full of like Christmas parties nowadays that we don't connect it with, you know, sacrifice and penance and that kind of thing.
You've cherry-picked the
yeah,
fun parts.
Yeah. So we're gonna talk a bit more about kind of the basics, the essentials to Advent being prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, just like we find in the season of Lent, kind of making that correlation between both seasons, seasons of penance, seasons of preparation. We talk a lot about repentance in the gospel, and you hear St. John the Baptist, you know, make straight the ways of the Lord, you know, bring really making room for Christ in our hearts. So I'm gonna pass it over to Melina and see kind of what she has planned for Advent. Maybe we'll find some inspiration with us.
Well, one of the things, maybe I was having issues, not that I'm the best person ever for this, but I guess I took a lot of things on this year since January. So a lot of goals and things that I wanted to achieve or change even in my prayer life, right? So that's something that really changed. And most of the time I used to have Advent as that moment of, okay, let's make a reset button. Mm-hmm. Let me prepare better this time around for Jesus coming. Because at the end of the day, well, he came as a human being like us to show us that we can become like him, right? Mm-hmm. And I guess maybe this opportunity of Advent for preparation for me, I was thinking about more of how I'm going to be honest, I get very upset or frustrated or criticize people that they only see the commercialization part of Christmas, right? They only see that gift. Don't give me more, give me more. I used to work in a mall over the Christmas season, and sometimes you meet the worst people ever that they don't really show anything related to how we live the life as a Catholic, right? Not empathy towards each other. They're fighting for the gifts, etc.
Isn't that just the worst?
I know, right? So maybe instead of, for myself, a good opportunity for me is looking at those negative things that I normally will say, and it will piss me off, and I'll say, they don't know anything about it. And I will say, you know something? Maybe instead of doing that, think about the positive side that brings over at the end of the day. Or maybe pray for those individuals that they only see that superficial side of things and not get upset at them, but trying to remember them on my prayers. Mm-hmm. And trying to maybe get contagious by the happiness and not the negativity of the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Excellent. So working on the prayer side of things. That's
yeah.
Good.
So, but it was challenging to really think about something because I can do, Well, I used to do these type of sacrifices. Oh, I don't want to eat chips because I love chips for 40 days. And then my ulterior motive will be losing weight. Right? So who are you doing these things
for? Who
are
you doing it for? Yes.
Yeah, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm really taking maybe a different take on or perspective on these years.
Yep. How about you, Mark?
Well, I don't really have a lot of Advent traditions. It's something I'm learning. It's weird in many ways. I've been a Catholic since I was born, or since I was baptized, I guess, but haven't really lived a cultural Catholic life. It's been predominantly it's been me, whatever my vision is and whatever I want to be doing. So as I become less ignorant, I'm learning that there is a wealth of stuff, and frankly, in some ways, it'll be a lot easier if I'm not inventing stuff all the time. So that I'm learning, hey, there's all this stuff that can help me step outside of myself, function for other people, and ultimately function, and now in a little more sophisticated understanding, I'm doing more towards serving God. That sounds a little bit, I don't mean to make that sound trite, but it's not like I'm, oh, look at me. It's just that it's a realization I've come to is that I have enormously lived for myself. And even having kids, okay, yeah, you do live for your kids, but it's a thing of utility as opposed to, I want to say intention or as a sense of purpose, whereas this is pointing to a sense of purpose, I think. And so I don't know what I'm doing for Advent. I'm learning about it is the prominent thing. I've been frustrated by the secularization of Christmas entirely, but of all the traditions we've had ahead of time. So it's nice to say, okay, you know what? Since I don't have any traditions, I'm going to go and try and learn, I'm going to say authentic, not real, but authentic ones, ones that really contribute to the purpose of Advent. And as this penitential season, saying, hey, we are getting ready for, we are living without Jesus for the next 4 weeks, or as if remembering what it was like without Jesus. And in these days, it's pretty easy to live. Like, people don't know about Jesus because a lot of them don't. So, and I think what you're saying, Elaine, is instead of being angry with people that don't, say, okay, well, what do I do to reflect that, to be that example? And I guess I'm thinking, again, thinking very small world. I think of my kids is, yeah, we do the Christmas thing, but it's a Hallmark type Christmas. It's not it's not what Christmas is supposed to be. It's not celebrating the birth of Jesus. In fact, on my calendar, I have Happy Birthday Jesus. I don't have Merry Christmas because I want the kids to understand that there's a reason for this. And so that's what I'm not doing for Advent. I'm learning.
That's a great goal, though, because there are a lot of authentic Advent traditions that are available to Catholics. And we talked in our last episode about the Signs of Life book written by Scott Hahn. There's a chapter in there dedicated to Advent. So if anyone doesn't have any practices that they have established, like Mark and their families, that's a good place to start. Or go online. There's lots of different places. Go on the forum platform, you know, pick something and do it. Incorporate it into your life. And it doesn't have to be a big thing either. Just like both of you were talking about, you know, Milena, if that's, you know, praying for one person every day, you know, that's going to have a huge difference, whether or not you see it. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's another question, but that's going to have a huge difference, not just in, you know, in praying for them and the grace that they'll receive from it, but also the grace that, you know, it's going to change you by praying for them as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And about traditions, now that you spoke about, I guess, being from Mexico, we have a huge thing for Advent. We do have what we call posadas. Yes, there are parties that will go and have tamales and champurrado. It's like really good. Like,
okay, now I'm hungry.
Piñatas.
Oh my God. Exactly. So, but one of the most important things that I love doing in Christmas that some of my sisters will get upset at me because I always bring it up, I want to ask for posada. And that's what it will mean. We will sing kind of like Christmas carols in some ways, but they're not carols. It's a specific song that we commemorate Joseph and Mary trying to find a place to stay because baby Jesus was coming. Mm-hmm. So we will carry actually, my mom has a donkey with Mary on top and Joseph. So we put it on a little table to carry it, and we will go around my house in the different doors to ask for, hey, we're here, and we will sing. And the people inside the house, they will say, no, there's no room here. Yeah. But it's a singing song. So that's, I love that part. It's something that I grew up with. And it was not only about the party itself, but it was about, yeah, organizing ourselves to have these. Mm-hmm. And I know we have lost it as a family, too. Mm-hmm. I want to be honest. We're all grown ups, and my sisters have families, etc. So it's super important also as us as members of the families to carry on those traditions. Mm-hmm. When you have even inside the same family, you know, oh, there's no point of that. Oh, que flojera. Say the que flojera, like the Spanish word is like, oh, it's lazy, it's just time to party, drinking. Mm-hmm. No, it's also, let's take a little bit of time just to remember, right? And sing a little bit, have some fun because we're singing bad or X, Y, Z, and then bring that joyful part of Christmas that we also, because mm-hmm. at the end of the day, who is coming? We should be happy that mm-hmm. he's coming too.
And we should be dedicated to the time before Christmas to prepare for him, even if it's just taking something like one of the hymns we pray during Advent. I'm thinking like, O Come, Emmanuel. Meditate on that for a few minutes every day. Like yeah. there's so much meaning to the season. It's not just a, oh, I'm waiting, and the season is passing me by, and it's just something that I have to kind of put behind me. Let's mm-hmm. embrace it, and let's really live it out.
Absolutely, right?
And it's not a chore to do. It's to change you.
Yes.
And that's kind of what I'm wrapping my head around. As you said earlier, Melina, we're all busy, and I don't want a chore for the sake of another chore. I want a chore that's going to change me.
Yeah.
And I want to find something that is not something that I will truly do and that I will truly incorporate.
Mm-hmm. I just heard something the other day. It takes 3 weeks to break a bad habit and 3 weeks to incorporate a new habit. And there's pretty much, between Remembrance Day and Christmas, it's like 6 weeks.
Yeah,
that's all the time that we need. And the church has kind of planned it out so that we can have just the right amount of time we need to break those bad habits and integrate a new good habit.
I have to give up bad habits?
Yep.
I got to start some.
Actually, so one of the habits I picked up and actually incorporated into my life after Lent last year was praying Psalms in the morning, you know, just taking kind of like mid-morning prayer and incorporating that into my morning routine or whatever. And so I've been hearing a lot more about prayer in the last kind of month, 2 months, and I think it's God's way of, you know, interjecting all of these, you know, different saints and readings and prayers, kind of throwing them onto my lap and saying, here, this is what I want you to do for Advent, because we've been reflecting on, you know, what we were going to say during this podcast. And prayer seems to be kind of the big one that mm-hmm. I hear, you know, being spoken in my heart. And even when hearing different people talk in different conferences about how we've really lost the sense of prayer and the justice, you know, due to God that we have to pray every day. Now, how that is lived out in daily life depends on your state in life. So for us as laypersons, I've heard that 15 minutes of prayer, of meditation every day, that's good. That's all we have to do. And then the rest of the time, we're still praying, but not necessarily like down on my knees in a quiet space, meditating on something specific. You know, we're still living out that life of prayer. And I thought that was a really interesting thing that, just reflecting on how much people don't pray, even within, you know, my family or my close group of friends. And like some of these people go to church every Sunday, or, you know, might go to weekday mass, go to confession a couple times a year, and they don't pray every day. It never really occurred to me that just kind of that dichotomy. And I think it's something that I'm going to try and keep up and be more attentive to for myself for Advent, but also encourage other people to do as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. As I say, sometimes in families, it's tricky how you approach the situation, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the things that I think about it is don't care. Whatever they say about you, whether they say X, Y, Z, think about in some ways they're just going with the culture at the time, yeah. with the times. But are you changing with the times, or do you have a solid foundation in your heart to be strong against what's happening in the weather outside?
It's It's a good thing for them, right? You're willing the good of the other by reminding them that, hey, you should be praying every day if it's, you know, 15 minutes in the morning or at night or teaching your kids to pray, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. That's actually for the good of their soul so that they can be saved and go to heaven.
And let's be honest, even if you don't want to talk about prayer, then think about you need a moment of silence. Remember our first episode that we had about the Book of Silence? You know, just having that moment of silence with yourself. And I really believe that we're so afraid to face that silence because we're afraid of seeing who we really are sometimes. So maybe that Advent is just to change. Okay, maybe I'm not going to pray, but maybe I'm going to take 2 minutes of silence every day and go from there and see how that starts changing, like you say, that new habit.
Yep.
Could that make you more curious about other things?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, God speaks in the silence. And
well, and I think to some degree, prayer, I think for a lot of people, it's just the request.
Yeah.
It's not the...
That's an important point to note. There's different types of prayer.
and I'm thinking of my own kids and people around us. We're so used to having things happen now.
Yeah.
Like, I want to order a cake or something. I go to Amazon, next day it's here. I want to order, you know, it's instant. I have all kinds of entertainment, all kinds of material goods. I don't have to wait. But prayer isn't about instant. It's about what's best for you in His plan. Mm-hmm. And it's not instant. Well, sometimes it is.
Yeah.
But most times
that's why it's painful to most people, too. Like, it's hard to quiet our lower faculties. You know, your brain's racing throughout the day. Oh, I got to go to this, and then I got to do this, and I got to remember to drop the kids off here, and then we have soccer practice, and then I have to go to bring the kid. Yeah. It's just craziness, right?
Yep.
And we never take that time, even though it's an essential part of living a Christian life. We never set aside that time and prioritize prayer, even if it is just 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. I mean, it, like Melina said, it could be a couple minutes of silence. It could be praying on your way to work. I mean, I pray when I brush my teeth. I have my set list of prayers that, okay, it takes me 2 minutes to brush my teeth. These are the prayers that I'm going to pray because I know I do that every day, and making a routine is something so important to us for ourselves, not because God needs it. God doesn't need anything. He's perfect in and of himself.
No, but it's the same time I think about God and I think about our fathers or parents. Right? He also needs that time.
He wants to spend time with
exactly.
you.
So how do you spend time with that within that silence or in that prayer?
Yeah.
Right? I believe one of the things that I try to remember more often now, thanks to these awesome people that I'm sitting here next to me, that they're teaching me every time that we're sitting here how to become, like, do better things, you know, or live better, be happier, right? But it's one of the things that I say is, for you, in you, and with you, all the time, God, right? Whether I'm cooking or brushing my teeth or having a meeting or working on my computer, right? Maybe I'm a person that hesitates a little bit on taking the final decisions. So before I'm, like, instead of hesitation, I say, it's with you, in you, and for you. You're gonna make it happen. I have so if this... it's not meant to be, it won't turn out. If this is meant to be, it will turn out. I'm with you, God, right? Mm-hmm. So even if it is also another idea, I'm just good at giving ideas. I like giving ideas on how to incorporate maybe those little moments of small prayers.
Yeah.
Like how do they call them, those arrow prayers? I think there was Father, not Mike, it was a different priest on Ascension Press. It's kind of like arrow prayers, he called them.
Just very focused.
The day. Yes, very focused throughout the day. And I thought that was excellent, right? Mm. So it's another idea for some of you.
I really liked what you said about, you know, this is God's way of spending time with us. He wants us to spend time with him because we become more conformed to him the more we think about him. I mean, you can't not think about someone you love. You don't really love that person if you don't actually spend time with them and think about spending time with them. That's real love, right?
Yeah.
If this is the person that you just, you know, ask things of, like, that's a drive-through. There's no relationship there, right? That's not the kind of...
It's going through Tim's. You get your coffee, but there's no value there.
That's not the covenant that God wants us. He wants us to be happy, and he knows that for our sake, that means slowing us down for a few minutes every day and us reminding ourselves that, oh, yeah, everything needs to be put in perspective.
Mm-hmm. I had a very interesting experience this past week. I have to go into Winnipeg for a doctor's appointment, And I, as an offhand comment, I emailed my kids. I said, you know, I'm going into Winnipeg. If you want to come with me, great. And they're busy. You know, everybody's busy. Well, my daughter said, what time, Dad? I said, it's 3 o'clock. She says, well, I actually told her 2:30. She says, well, if I want to come with you, I'm going to start crying.
Oh.
I want to come with you. So she skipped her last class of the day. She came with me, and that made me so happy.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine what God thinks when we do similar. I thought, okay, this is, it's a prayer in a way because,
Mm-hmm. No, that's amazing. That's mm-hmm. beautiful.
Think about even, in the Bible, we read how Jesus takes time to go by himself to pray with the Father, and he is one of the persons of the Holy Trinity. If he needs to do it.
Yeah, he needs to decompress, you know. I think about the poor guy sometimes, and I think about whole people that came to him and talked to him and begged him, cure me, do this for me, all mm-hmm. of these things. And then I think about, I'm a teacher and I go to school every day and I give so much energy away just to a small group of people. Just a small group of people. Imagine trying to do that with 5,000, like feeding the 5,000.
Mm-hmm.
How much energy do you need to...
How much grace do you need to be able to do that?
And at the end of the day, he's in a human body, right? So he needs to also decompress, recharge his juice.
Grace builds on nature. You got to take care of yourself, too. That's
exactly.
a good thing.
Exactly. So if he needed to do it, we definitely need to do it. And I don't think mm-hmm. we are really... I encourage everyone, too, since episode one that we had, just to take a few minutes for yourself. And I think COVID provided us with that opportunity, but we're easily forgetting that
mm-hmm.
Now that we're having more freedom.
Yeah. And there's so much free stuff online. Like, I just printed off instructions on meditation by St. Francis de Sales. There's so many different types of meditations, of different prayers that you can do. There's vocal prayer, public prayer we do with everyone at church on Sundays. But being able to learn those different types of prayer for those 15 minutes or 5 minutes or 10 minutes, whatever it is a day. There's lots of free stuff online. This was totally free. We can post it in the comments.
Definitely.
We have 2,000 years of tradition of different saints developing different methods so that we can learn how to pray in ways that really respond to the calling in our heart. It's not something that we can miss out on.
No, absolutely.
And it's not something that's in passing. It's genuine. It's sincere because it's been tested over hundreds of years, thousands of years. It's not just a trend. It's not a fad. It's not like yoga where, you know, do all these poses and you'll be magically transformed. No, there's not only is there tradition behind it, but there's reason behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And you can rely on that as opposed to some of the flash in the pan stuff.
There's also a sense of urgency about it, too, in the sense of we don't know how much time we have on earth. I can't remember which saint said it, but the soul who doesn't pray will not be saved. Like, you're not going to make it to heaven if you're not praying. That's what heaven's all about, being in God's presence, being in the beatific vision. If you're not going to be ready for heaven, you're not going to want to be with God if you haven't spent your life preparing to be with him.
Well, like you said in the last podcast, we talked about the conductor conducting and the sign of the cross. If you got your back turned,
mm-hmm.
you're not going to follow the music. You're not going to be able to be part of that.
Mm-hmm.
So you need, and it's the control of your will. And I talked earlier about being selfish about my stuff, but it's controlling my will to conform towards God's will.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what praying and all of these things that we've been talking about is conform ourselves to God's will.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I know for me, prayer is the biggest mortification in terms of time, giving up that time, you know, that set prayer. You know, for me, I pray the rosary every day. Giving up those last, 15 minutes of my day and making sure that's set out to God before I fall asleep, not so that I fall asleep.
It's not a soporific.
that time is precious to us, and we are all busy. If you don't have time in your day to pray, that's because you're too busy. That means you need to cut something else out. It's not prayer that should
it's
be cut out.
It's choices you've made.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We need to take responsibility for that.
Yeah. It's interesting. I've just started walking. I'm not a big fan of any kind of exercise. If you could see me, you could tell. But I've just started walking, and I walk for about a half an hour, and the monotony initially was frustrating. I knew I wouldn't keep it up. So I thought, what can I do, being pragmatic, what can I do useful here? I thought, well, I could pray. I could pray a rosary. Kill two stones with one bird. I get a rosary set. But it actually, my mind changed very much after the fact, is that I get to pray the rosary. I'm enjoying praying the rosary, and it's making the walk inconsequential. Mm-hmm. So it's been really profound in how my world is changing. Mm-hmm. Not because the world is changing, but because I'm changing.
Yeah.
And we talked about immediate results to prayer. Well, maybe that's part of it, is that part of what I pray is help me to turn my face towards God.
Yeah.
All the time. And that in walking, you're changing direction, but you're also changing direction in your head. I'm waving my hand so you can't see that, but you're internally changing your direction. And I think that's a huge part of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, as you mentioned that, I think I mentioned it in a different podcast, a life without prayer is a life without meaning.
Beautiful.
It's beautiful. It's just a priest that we had in Mexico in the church that we used to have, and he's buried in the church that we go, and that's what he has in his burial site. A life without prayer is a life without meaning. A life without faith is a life without meaning.
Yeah.
Right? And it is just important part. You know, as I mentioned, prayer is like water in the plant, right? And it's watering that plant of faith that you are born with. But if you don't take care of it, it just kind of like dries up like a plant. Right?
Oh, I'm terrible at growing plants. This is not a good sign.
That's okay, as long as you have the discipline.
But remember, it's the imagination too, right? Mm-hmm. So it's the power of faith.
Faith, yes.
Exactly, of bringing that plant to life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, keep in mind, so prayer is a habit. Mm-hmm. That we develop. That's how we develop prayer is a virtue. So to develop that virtue, we set good habits. So if we can encourage you to do anything this Advent, let's maybe all focus on improving our prayer lives, and then maybe not necessarily increasing the time that we're praying. Maybe we're praying the right amount of time, but we're not praying in the right way, because mm-hmm. there are good ways to pray. Preparing ourselves for prayer, learning about the different methods of prayer, the different, you know, prayers of petition versus prayers of adoration. You know, there's all sorts of different aspects to that. So we encourage you to learn a bit more about that, access the free links that we'll put in the comments so that you can learn a bit more about meditation and different, how to incorporate that into your Advent this season. And we'll wish you a very good Advent as well.
Yeah.
Really embrace the season of penance and preparing for Christ to be born in our hearts at Christmas time.
We've got 6 weeks to change our habits.
That's right. God bless you.
God bless you. And don't forget to subscribe and follow us. And also send us your questions at patreon@lumenfidei.com. Have a great Advent season.